Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus is speaking again to us this morning of our need to remain or abide in Him, particularly to remain in His love. Because there are so many voices vying for our allegiance, making demands on our time and on our choices, and when compliance is held up as the only solution for dealing with the struggles that come, remaining in Christ's love is of the utmost importance. Because compliance with any or all of those other voices will ultimately lead to death. And in that context, John 15:10 should fill us with terror. Jesus begins saying, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love." If then, that's a conditional sentence. If A is true, then B is true. That also implies that the converse would also be true. If A is not true, if we don't obey, then B isn't true either. We don't remain in Christ's love. Initially, that sounds like an additional requirement that's being added to the gospel. Paul writes in Ephesians 2 that we have been saved by grace through faith in Christ, not by works, lest anyone boast. It's the gift of God. But Jesus says here that if we are to remain in His love, we have to obey His commands. And because Scripture tells us that we are to be perfect, just as our Heavenly Father is perfect, this isn't a do what you can and hope for the best kind of thing. This is be perfect or you're out. And again, that should cause us some alarm. We aren't perfect, and we aren't going to be perfect. In spite of our best efforts, we sin daily in our thoughts, words, and deeds. So does that mean we're lost? Does that mean remaining in Christ's love is an impossibility for us who sin daily? Well, to answer those questions, we have to do a couple things. First, we have to expand the scope of what Jesus says here beyond the Ten Commandments. Second, we need to look at what Jesus says in the last half of John 15:10. Is Jesus adding more commands to the ten? In one respect, we could say yes, because he says at times, "I give you a new command." But the answer really is no. One of those new commands he gives us is to love one another as he has loved us. But that really isn't a new command. The Ten Commandments are a practical guide for how we do that, a guide for how we indeed love our neighbor as ourselves. But again, that's not a do the best you can and hope it's good enough kind of thing. Jesus tells us that if our righteousness doesn't surpass that of the Pharisees, we can't enter the kingdom of God. But Jesus also said, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." That's also a command. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. Come to me, and I will give you rest. God has given us His law to show us our sin. That's the second use of God's law. It acts like a mirror. And we can't look in the mirror of God's law and not see our sin. We can't look in that mirror and not see our need. Even the folks that claim they are without sin are really reacting to the work of God's law that has been written in their hearts. They're trying to turn a blind eye to the conflict that rages within them, but without success. That's why they continue to fight for public acceptance. That's why they demand that we all accept them just as they are. They do that because they think that our acceptance will cause the conflict within to disappear. But it doesn't. It can't. Because there's only one solution for that conflict. The purpose of God's law is to bring us to our knees so that it can then point us to Christ. So that it can point us to Him as the only solution for the burden and conflict of our sin. And that's why Jesus speaks this command, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Perhaps I should say a word here about law as it's understood in the Old Testament. Torah is translated as law. But there's a narrow sense and a broad sense. Torah, in the narrow sense, is the Ten Commandments, the summary of all that God's will includes. Torah, in the broad sense, is the entire revelation of God, His nature and His work, which includes, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." When we look in the mirror of God's law and see our sin, when we fail to obey Jesus' commands, we listen to His invitation. We come to Him confessing our sin, so that He can speak His absolution, so that He can say to us that our sin has been forgiven. In receiving that word of forgiveness, we are restored to God. The burden of our sin is removed, and we rest in His peace. So how is Jesus able to do that? How is Jesus able to forgive us over and over and over again? How do we remain in His love and the peace it brings when we sin daily? The key, really, is the second half of John 15:10. There Jesus says, "Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love." The word that is translated as obey is the same word used in the first half of that verse, with this difference. When Jesus says to me, if I obey His commands beginning today and into the future, then I will remain in His love, the conditional nature of that statement indicates that there's a possibility that I won't, a possibility confirmed by my experience. But when Jesus applies that same word to Himself, the verb translated as obey is in the perfect tense. The perfect tense in the Greek is a past action that remains in effect today, a reality that will not change. Jesus said He came into the world not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. That's what He's saying here. Because He has fulfilled the law, a fulfillment that continues here in the present and for all eternity, He remains in His Father's love. And there's nothing that can separate that relationship. nothing in all of creation that can break that relationship. That fulfillment is made visible for us at Jesus' resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead and ascended to his Father. He was received back. He was welcomed home. Paul writes that as a result of Jesus' perfect obedience, an obedience that took him to the cross, the Father exalted him and gave him the name above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus was welcomed home to remain in his Father's love because of his perfect obedience. And for us to really understand how that applies to us, we look at the one time when that perfect tense didn't remain in effect. Even though Jesus went to the cross as part of his perfect obedience to his Father's commands, there was a point as he hung dying on that cross where he did not remain in his Father's love. Because he took upon himself our sinful nature, he had to suffer in our place the condemnation that our sin deserved. He was forsaken. He was cut off. In that moment, when he cried from the cross, "Why have you forsaken me?" he was separated from his Father's love. He did that in our place. He did that so that that condemnation would not fall on us. He did that so that we could live, so that we could be loved by God and remain in his love. And now the phrase, "just as," takes on tremendous significance. We are united together with Jesus in the "just as" through the waters of baptism. When we were baptized into Christ Jesus, we were baptized into his death. We died just as Jesus did, so that we could then be raised just as Jesus was. And the Lord's Supper is now not just a remembrance, but an opportunity to step into the "just as." Just as Jesus was welcomed home by his Father, so we are welcomed home when he invites us to join him at his table. Covered in the righteous robes of Christ through the forgiveness of sins that came to us through God's word, joined to the waters of baptism, we are welcomed into God's house and invited to sit with him at his table. By answering that invitation, we come, remembering that it is by God's gracious work that we remain in his love. His commands continue to be a guide for us for loving our neighbor as ourselves. We continue to walk according to Christ's commands, not for our benefit, but for our neighbors, and for the opportunities that will bring to share the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ and the resurrection he shares. We continue to listen to his word that is a light to our path and a lamp for our feet. We continue to listen to his voice because it will always lead us back to the cross, to the one who gave his life so that we could live. We've been joined together with the living word of God. We have been transferred from death and sin to life in him. And Jesus' word to us today is continue. Continue to live in that new life, which is yours, as Jesus' gracious gift to you. Continue to follow Jesus, the good shepherd, who knows you by name and welcomes you home. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus this day and forevermore. Amen.